Dolly McCarthy Show.
This show is made possible by the following sponsors.
Clark's Car Care in Naperville, themed after the infamous Clark Griswold vacation movie. Enjoy fresh popcorn in their kid-friendly waiting room while taking a load off in one of their massage chairs. Emission experts for over 10 years, conveniently located right next door to the Naperville Emission Testing Center. Matt and his longtime staff will take care of any of your car needs, from a funny noise in the engine to factory maintenance needs. They're also the only repair shop that can offer a free roadside membership with any repair. They believe in service that you swear by, not at. Mention the Dolly McCarthy Show for a one-time special of $17.95 for an oil change. Yes, that's $17.95, $27.95 for synthetic. Clark's Car Care. Happy cars, happy owners. Do you look back at old pictures and wish you were that size again? You know what I'm talking about, that size. It may seem impossible to you, but it's not. If you want to get somewhere, if you want something, let's work for it together. Jocelyn Shook from First Comes Fitness is available to help you. She's not only a physician assistant, but also a health and fitness coach. Jocelyn Shook from First Comes Fitness can assist you in helping you lose those extra pounds that have been adding up over the years. Jocelyn can help you get into your pre-baby weight clothes. You're looking to get stronger? I know I am. Jocelyn Shook has great solutions for you. If this sounds like something for you, she's the right gal. Check out First Comes Fitness on the web or Facebook, or message Jocelyn Shook to schedule a free consultation. Mention the Dolly McCarthy Show, and of course that consultation is absolutely free. Is purchasing or refinancing home part of your spring or summer plans? If so, call the experienced mortgage professionals at Homebridge Financial Services for a free pre-qualification. Interest rates remain at historic lows and home values are on the rise. Their mission is to simplify the mortgage process, and they're proud to be your partner for the path ahead. Give them a call at 630-404-4272 to get started today. Again, that number, 630-404-4272, Homebridge Financial Services. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by Naper Settlement, where history comes to play. Check out napersettlement.org. Do you want to keep your home or business safe? Go to NapervilleAlarm.com. They have everything from 24/7 alarm monitoring to home automation through your smartphone. Monitoring starts at a low price of $19 a month with no contracts. NapervilleAlarm.com, keeping Chicagoland safe since 2000. Bricconi's, another proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show. It's the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. They're a small business that's family-owned and operated. You can call them at 630-717-9530 for pickup or takeout, delivery, or go to their website, Bricconi's.com. Sullivan Steakhouse, offering guests a unique steakhouse experience with delectable food, fun cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing their guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Check out SullivanSteak.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by Naperville Trolley and Tours. The Naperville Trolley and Tours has four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, bat and bar mitzvahs, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Ding, ding. And we're also proudly sponsored by Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Check out ArthurMurrayNaperville.com and mention the Dolly McCarthy Show. And, you know, we're all about the free stuff on this show. That first class, the first dance class, is absolutely free. You got to mention the Dolly McCarthy Show, though.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
I love my aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. That's my little nephew, Jakey. This is Dolly here. You've reached the right channel, the Dolly McCarthy Show on Blog Talk Radio, Tuyville Internet Radio, Rivet Radio Network in Chicago, We're also on 1010 News Talk every morning, 7 days a week, and WCKG 1530 AM. Thanks to all my new listeners. Hey, what's the good word, everybody? You've reached Dolly here, and thank you for tuning into the good show where we bring you good news, good guests, and as they say in that song, at least one good laugh. We've got a good show for you today. First, I got a couple of announcements to make. I did, over the weekend, I was so lucky, got to see Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. You know who I'm talking about. Maybe you haven't. Sweeney Todd. I never heard of this musical before, but I was lucky enough to go to press night over at, or opening night, I should say, opening night at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. You could check out ParamountAurora.com, and they've got a list of times and all the shows that are playing right now and the upcoming shows. And Sweeney Todd, I will tell you, it was a thriller. I was not expecting it. Yes, there was some blood. Not gore, but there was blood. I'll just give you a warning. But it was fantastic. I mean, really? Trust me, they don't pay me to say this. But I am telling you, this is an amazing venue, Paramount Theater, the historic Paramount. And I remember going to shows there 20-some-odd years ago, and they were okay. Now, they really do blow me away. Jim Cordy, the artistic director there, who also, by the way, did direct Sweeney Todd this time around. I'm not a movie critic, and I'm not a Broadway critic, but I would give this 5 stars and 2 thumbs up. It was so good. So I'm going to give you my review. Fantastic, and I encourage you to go see it. Sweeney Todd at ParamountAurora.com. Really enjoyed that. I wanted to share that with you. That was over the weekend we went to. And, of course, one of my favorite local theater groups, the Brightside Theater, Naperville's only professional theater, is having their 6th season, Classic Broadway, presenting Moon Over Buffalo. I've never seen this one, so I'm looking forward to going to see something new. It's always nice when you can experience something new for the first time, but I know this is a really popular show. In an attempt to keep their careers afloat, the fading stars, George and Charlotte, produced 2 plays simultaneously. This is what it's about. Noel Coward's Private Lives and Serrano de, am I saying it right, de Bergerac. Suddenly George receives word that Hollywood director Frank Capra may be coming to see a matinee performance, giving them one last chance at fame. That is, of course, if they can remember what play they're doing. Everything that could go wrong does in this side-splitting backstage farce full of romance, swordplay, noses, and plenty of doors. Moon Over Buffalo plays March 10th through the 26th. Put on your calendars. It's not too early to get those tickets. Friday and Saturday is 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. They're performing at the theater at Miley Swallow Hall in Naperville. For tickets, you can call 630-447-8497 or visit brightsidetheater.com. That's the number again is 630-447-TICKS. Okay, this summer, as we've done for the last 3 or 4 years now, I think this will be the 4th year, we've been teaming up with the Lustgarten Foundation. I want to give you a heads up because as a mother of 5 right now, I know what a lot of moms and dads are doing out there. You're booking your kids in summer camp. So if you could, keep this date open. Maybe the kids will be on camp that weekend, but you can come still, mom and dad. Or just schedule the camp before this or after it. On Sunday, July 23rd, we really hope you'll all come back out to the Naperville Pavilion. The event is the 7th annual Naperville Pancreatic Cancer Research Walk. And this benefits the Lustgarten Foundation. That's the nation's largest private funder of pancreatic cancer research and really underscores the mission of advancing the scientific and medical research related to the diagnosis, treatment, cure, and prevention of pancreatic cancer. In 2016 alone, over 18,000 people participated in 35 walks, okay, spanning 18 states, and raised more than $3.6 million in that quest for a cure. So I really hope that you will join me again and help support and fight and find a cure for pancreatic cancer. Nearly 53,000 Americans will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer this year. More than 40,000 will die from this lethal disease. So research remains grossly underfunded. We need to raise more awareness and funds to get to the point where we can find a cure, or at least help those with diagnosed with pancreatic cancer to have some longevity. It's once you're diagnosed, it's within months, unfortunately. So let's see. I also have some other statistics from based on private funding. 100% of every dollar donated to the Lustgarten Foundation goes directly to pancreatic cancer research. This is fantastic. Percent of every dollar. I'll tell you, when I participate in these walks, I like to know where my money's going, and this is really phenomenal to know. If you want to get more involved, be a part of the walk, join a team, or just volunteer for the Naperville Pancreatic Cancer Walk. This is the seventh year. You can reach Susan Ignari. She's the events coordinator, or Ann Walsh, director of events. And the number to call is 516-803-2419, or just go to lustgarten.org.
She's the greatest gal on the radio. You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Okay, well, on Saturday, February 3rd, wait, I got this wrong here. On Saturday, February 5th, 18th, got to be the 18th. This Saturday is the 18th? That's a typo here. February 18th. So this Saturday, folks, there's going to be a great show they're putting out in Naperville. It's not far if you're in Chicago or surrounding areas. Naperville is the place to be. What better place to be on a Saturday than in Naperville? Go to Naperville North. They're putting on a great show. 14 show choirs from across the country will be performing at Naperville North High School's all-day show choir competition. It's called Clash of the Sequence. We talked about this last year, maybe the year before even, quite a few times. If you've never been, this event is amazing family entertainment, choreography, and so many talented young people. Clash of the Sequence will inspire any young person who loves performing and will be hugely entertaining for everyone, no matter what their age. Tickets are for sale at the door to just $15, but that is for an all-day show. If you want more information, you can go to www.theclashcomp.com. Let me do that again, www.theclashcomp.com. And joining me on the show, I'm really thrilled to have him back on the show, is Nick Janison. He's the instructional coordinator for the fine arts at Naperville North High School, where he's been instrumental in the launch just 5 years ago of Naperville North High School's award-winning show choir, Entourage and High Heeled Harmony. Nick, welcome to the show again.
Hi, Dolly. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. We're all tired getting ready to make this event happen, but we're super excited for it.
Round the clock, I bet, rehearsals and all of the coordinating. I mean, I can't imagine you're coordinating with 14 different show choirs from across the country. Are the show choirs from across, are they all starting to come into town? And
yes.
Where are they staying? Staying different hotels in the area?
Absolutely. We have groups coming in. They will begin coming in Friday, and some of them stay through Sunday morning. And we have a lot of clinicians and adjudicators and judges that are coming in, and we have them at great local Naperville areas like Hotel Indigo. And we're just super excited to bring everyone to the Naperville community.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Nick, you really have really stepped up the level of talent and moved these kids to such excellence in dancing. You've been with the show choir. You've been in the show choir your whole life. I know. I remember you even taught my own daughter for a period
yes.
of time.
And yes. At the School of Performing
Arts. She still
Arts.
Remembers
mm-hmm.
you. She loved you there. So you've really moved, still Naperville North, when it was still new, their show choir, you moved them into the upper echelon of groups nationally. So a pat on the back to you for doing that and all the hard work you've put into that. Show choir is such a big thing in the suburbs. What is it about that? Why is it so popular now?
You know, show choir is really
it's so entertaining, but what is
sure,
it about
absolutely.
It that's
Sure. Show choir has been around in its kind of its current form for about the last 20, 25 years. And it was really originally just kind of in pockets in the Midwest, oftentimes in smaller towns where the town kind of focused all their energy and effort into that one performing arts event and venue. I think it's grown in popularity for a variety of reasons. It's a great with iTunes and YouTube and Glee and everything that's been on TV, I think students really relate to popular music. And as show choir is a lot of popular in Broadway music, I think it gives the kids an outlet to learn really high quality music education, learn about proper vocal technique, singing, dancing, etc. But in a medium that's accessible to them and relevant to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Naperville North Show Choir has become quite successful very quickly. What is behind all of that?
You know, it's really a team effort. I honestly think that what's behind all of that is the community, the support of the school, the support of performing arts in Naperville, the students, the parents. I definitely do not do this alone. We have 120 some kids between the different show choirs here at Naperville North and just as many parents in our parent support organization. And really just the support of Naperville North High School, the school district, everyone's been behind us all the way. They've done everything they can to support us. And the students really, they value the experience they have and the teamwork aspect to show choir more than the competitive aspect. And that, I think, as a result, we have a lot of great trophies as a byproduct of just putting so much energy and effort into the experience that we have and our hard work and commitment to the team and the program.
Yeah, well, it really takes a village, doesn't it? But, Nick, you got to give yourself some credit, or I'll give it to you. You really are a true leader in this area of expertise. You really are a true leader. And the kids, you're just very charismatic. And I just speak from what I've experienced with you. The kids really respect you, and you're just well received, and they receive you so well that makes them want to do better. And this is why I point this out, because my listeners, I always want to say, recognize good things and good people and anything that's good out there. I've told you guys about good food. These are good people. And Nick, you're one of them for sure.
Oh, well, thank
you. We really
appreciate,
as a parent, we appreciate all you're doing for the kids there. Clash of the Sequence, what made you want to throw an event like this?
Story. Because actually the parents, when we started being competitive about 5 years ago, I had a group of our parents came to me and said, you know, I think we want to start our own show choir competition. But of course, in true Naperville North fashion, we want to do it bigger and better and you know, kind of take a new approach to the high school show choir competition. And at that time, I said, it's a huge undertaking. It takes a ton of volunteers and community support, and we need to spend a couple years planning. So then that parent committee spent the next 4 years shadowing and going to competitions all throughout the country and working at them and getting as much information as they could together. And they came together, and every obstacle I threw at them, they came up with a solution to. And so once we were at that point, I said, all right, well, let's go ahead and make this happen. And I think one of the things that we strive for in the fine arts here at Naperville North, I said it earlier, is to make sure that we're providing an experience for everybody. So it's not just the show choir competition. It's the experience the parent volunteers have during that day, the experience our guests have that day. And we really wanted to put together a huge community event as opposed to just another competition at the school.
Yeah, and of course the kids, they feed off that. There's an audience that makes them want to work harder, and then they really enjoy themselves too. It's nice. There's so much work in high school. It's nice to have an event where they're out there performing and enjoying themselves and entertaining. And this is a perfect winter family event to go to, folks. It's only $15 for the day. It's Saturday, this Saturday, from 9 in the morning to 11 at night. You could go any time of day. Go. Can they leave and come back too?
Absolutely. The wristband that they buy that
they
day.
Had to?
Yes, the wristband they buy that day enables them to come to and from the event. So it's just one wristband you get in all day long to see any of the performing ensembles and experience all our fantastic Naperville food vendors and trinket and shop vendors. We have a lot of that represented here as well.
Yes. Okay, so what can our ticket holders expect from Clash of the Sequence? What can they expect to see?
Yeah, I think they can expect to, more than anything, I think they can expect to see a much larger event than they would anticipate. The high school that day does not look like the normal Naperville North. When you walk into our field house that we are using as our performance arena, we are completely transforming it with a huge light and stage rental and drapery rental. It'll look like a giant arena, like you're at a rock concert. In addition to that, we have a fantastic light and sound company that's coming in that day and putting together rock tour concert lighting. And then in addition to the actual performance event, all throughout the building, as I mentioned, we have lots of different Naperville vendors here, Lumanati's Pizza, Chick-fil-A, all kinds of people, and you will be able to walk around and experience a lot of the Naperville, the food that we're known for here in Naperville, as well as several vendors in the Naperville area. So in addition to the performance, it's also a whole family festival and event.
Oh, sweet. It sounds really fun. This is going to be Saturday, folks, February 18th from 9 until 11. Now, Nick, give us a little sneak peek into, I don't want to say one of your favorite groups, but tell us, let's talk about Naperville North. They have your two show choirs at Naperville North?
Yes, and of course my bias is going to be the Naperville North groups. But,
yes,
but
okay,
you know, and, yeah, and you're going to see. Yeah, you know what? As I mentioned, the kids are awesome. They work really hard. We prepare four different shows throughout the year, and we're currently in our contest show. So there's two groups. There's Naperville North Entourage, which is a mixed 50-member, 25 male, 25 female show choir, as well as we have another group, which is called High Old Harmony. That's a 60-member, all-female ensemble. Both groups are extracurricular here at Naperville North. They have really high-energy shows. We are accompanied by our award-winning what we call the Hot Brockets instrumental combo, all students. And each one of our shows is presented in a 20-minute format but has multiple costume changes and multiple staging. And it's really an experience, as I mentioned before, for our audiences. And as I said, the kids work so hard, and they just love being on stage and having an outlet and a release. And, you know, the byproduct of that has been a lot of competition success. And what's really cool about this event is our students, as you mentioned, they perform so well for an audience because the audience gives them so much energy. And at contests, the energy is 10 times what it is at a normal show. And so this is a great way to really see the highest quality performance out of our students because you're seeing them in a contest setting right here in Naperville.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that? Now, how about how many people attend? This is only the second year you've done this. About how many people attended last year, and how many would you expect to have at this go-around?
You know, our event is much larger this year. Last year, as it was the first year, we made the conscious effort to we wanted to make sure we had quality over quantity. So we worked really hard to make sure that we were providing, on our end, a premier experience for our participants. So we had four schools with us throughout the day, as well as a lot of Naperville area performers to contribute to the performances. This year, we have, as you mentioned, we have 14 different competing groups, plus our two own show choirs from Naperville North, as well as the show choirs from the School of Performing Arts. So that's, 17 different ensembles that are performing that day, and we have groups from Illinois, Iowa, Ohio, Wisconsin, from all over the Midwest traveling in to compete. So our event is definitely going to be at least four times larger in our audience here, and so that's why we've moved it into our giant field house, which can, accommodate 3,500 people, so that we can have a really comfortable and premier and exciting event.
All right. Amazing production right there, folks, coming to you locally in Naperville, Naperville North High School. Someone told me it's kind of like a Beyonce concert. You've got thousands of screaming fans.
It's exactly what it's like. Yeah, we tell the kids all the time. Okay. We're like, this is your Beyonce moment.
Oh, hilarious. So cute. Well, don't miss this. And it's $15 only. And all the proceeds go to Naperville North High School or back into the show choir program.
Correct. And we also do some philanthropy projects with our proceeds.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear, Nick. I like that. Any non-profit group or anyone you want to mention?
You know, Well, you know, the way that we do it, and this is kind of one of our goals with making our event a little bit different, is unfortunately there are some groups throughout the country that compete and they don't have the support that our programs here have at Naperville North. So there are a couple of groups where we sponsor their travel costs to get to our event because competing at an event like ours is too far away from them, et cetera. So we really give back to the show choir community and the music education community in the country through the event as well.
You're giving back to the kids. Oh, that's great to hear. That's
correct.
So good to hear. We're very blessed in the Naperville community to have what we have and the means that we have. And it's true Naperville fashion, always giving back and helping mm-hmm. others that we know are less fortunate than ourselves. So, Nick Jansen, thank you so much. He's the instructional coordinator for fine arts at Naperville North High School. We're lucky to have you, Nick.
Well, thank you.
Keep
thank you, Dolly.
Work.
We're lucky to have you as well.
Oh, you're too kind. Okay, good luck. Or what do we say? Break a leg. Should I say break a leg? Because you guys are technically going to be on a stage. So break
Absolutely.
A leg this weekend. And thanks again for everything you're doing. Keep up the good work. I'm glad
Thank
to see
you.
That this is growing by leaps and bounds. Pretty soon you're going to have to go to one of these huge arenas.
Absolutely.
Really, really catching on fire. All right. Best of luck to you, Nick. Keep up the good work. And
Thank
say
you.
Say hello to all the girls for me.
I will. Take care.
All right. I just love it. I love it. I love it. Check out the Naperville North Show Choir Clash of the Sequins. It's February 18th, all-day show, $15 to get in. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go check it out. I can't stay the whole day, but you never know. I might. Sometimes I think I'm going to pop in, and, you know, this is what happens. I love stage performances. I love musicals, and I love singing and dancing. My daughters were in it, too. And I can't get enough of it. So you might find yourself stuck there all day long in a good way, in a very good way. All right, we'll be right back. We've got some more good guests coming your way. Hang in there, everybody.
Hey, this is Vanilla Ice, and you're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show. Holla and pop your collar.
Folks, this is Joe Diffie, and you're listening to my friend, the Dolly McCarthy Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Dustin Lynch, and you are listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Okay, we're back. Yes, it's the good show on WCKG, 1530 AM. And hello to all my listeners on Tuyville Internet Radio, been with me since the beginning, Blog Talk Radio since the very, very beginning, since day one. In fact, March, we're going to be celebrating 4 years of this show. 4 years! I can't believe it. Every week, we're bringing you good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh, right? I never disappoint on the laugh, that's for sure. Oh, and never on the good guests. We always have good guests. Good news? Yeah, we do have that too. Okay, you got me. All those and more. So thanks to everybody for listening. 4 years in March, we're going to be celebrating. I don't know what to do. I usually throw a party of some sort, but I didn't do it last year. I don't know if I'll do it this year. Maybe we'll wait till the fifth year. We're going to keep it going. We like spreading the good news. Speaking of good news, these girls have been on my show for the last 2 years. I've been really honored to be a part of what they do. They started this fundraiser. It's called Dodging for Lou Gehrig's Disease Dodgeball Tournament. It's held at Naperville North. And in fact, this year it's going to be Friday, February 24th at Naperville North High School. This is the sixth annual one, folks, by the way. You can't register for a team, that's all over with, but you can still come. There's a small fee at the door to come in and watch the competition, the tournament, I should say, and be a part of an effort to find a cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, otherwise known as ALS. Now, the Muscular Dystrophy MDA Association, they've been leading the fight to free individuals and families who love them from the harm of muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related debilitating diseases that take away physical strength, independence, and life. And they use collective strength to help kids and adults live longer, grow stronger by finding research breakthroughs across diseases, caring for individuals from day one, and empowering families with services and support in hometowns across America. And since 1950, MDA has invested more than $350 million in ALS research and support services. MDA hosts 43 designated MDA ALS care centers across the country. About 12,000 individuals have access to these care centers. That's significant. They've also influenced public policy and therapy developments for ALS and other forms of muscular dystrophy. And in 2015, MDA supported 46 ALS grants with a total commitment of $12.1 $1 million. Okay, that's my plug for MDI. And I what I was trying to say, when I got distracted here, was that this local effort was started years ago by two, I think it was sixth grade. We're going to talk to them. Delaney Gibson, or Gibbons, and Taylor Morrissey are two young girls. Now they're seniors in high school. Can you believe this? They're joining me now on the show. This is our third year, or my third year, having them on the show. And I'm just so honored that you guys are back and you're coming back on. And I'm so thrilled and so very proud of you guys that you're doing this again. You continue to do this 6 years now since you guys were in what? Was it fifth grade?
Seventh grade.
Was it seventh grade? Seventh grade?
Yeah, seventh grade.
I ask you this every year, don't I? You think, gee, Dolly, how many times you got to tell you this? It was seventh grade. But I kept thinking it was fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I thought someone told me that. So that's stuck in my head forever. Delaney and Taylor are two young, beautiful girls, inside and out, that have started this Dodgen for Lou Gehrig's disease. They started it. They run it. They're hardworking. I get emails from them pretty much consistently throughout the year reminding me or thanking me or telling me about their efforts and what they're doing. They're, what are you guys, like almost, you're 17, 18 now?
Yeah.
So they've really, they're young, beautiful young girls. But still, my point is, look at these girls. They're a shining example of the power of youth and what you can do if you put your mind to it. And how dedicated they are, and look at the work that they're doing and making this huge difference. So I want to, first of all, welcome you both back on the show. Thanks so much for asking me, too, to be a part of this. You guys really do it all, and I just do my little small parts, helping the MC and get the crowd going and building some excitement in the room. But it's really pretty much already done. It's already there. How many kids, how many folks or kids and adults come to this Dodgen for Lou Gehrig's disease dodgeball tournament, would you say, on average?
We usually have a combination, like, with teams and spectators, almost 1,000 people.
Yeah. This year we have a lot more adult teams than we have in the past, so it'll probably still be the same amount.
Oh.
It's just going to be, we have a lot more adult teams this year and a lot less high school teams, but still have the amount of teams that we need.
Oh, that's so good to hear. That's great. And do you, so tell me what it is. Let's just go back a little bit for my new listeners and people that are not familiar with you guys, about how this all got started. What prompted you to start this annual Dodgen for Lou Gehrig's disease dodgeball tournament? What prompted you to do that?
Well, in seventh grade, in the fall, me and Delaney heard that Mr. Benio, who was our gym teacher in elementary school, that his wife, Denise, has been diagnosed with ALS, and we wanted to do something to help. So we thought a dodgeball tournament would be a great way to raise money and to get the whole community involved. So then from there is when we started the planning, we had the first tournament that winter in January of 2011.
Mhm. And ever since then, for 6 years now, this is the sixth year, it has grown, gotten bigger, and so now, roughly how much money have you raised so far?
About $100,000,
$100,000?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever think that you were going to be raising that kind of money? That's huge.
No.
Our first year, we thought we were only going to raise, like,
$5,000.
We ended up raising $13,000. So it just, like, proves to show how much more we could actually do than we thought.
Yeah, we never knew it would become this big.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I guess, that's just amazing. It really, I didn't realize it was that much. Then this year, what do you expect to raise this year?
We have a goal of raising $35,000.
Oh, right. So you went from the first year thinking maybe we'll make $5,000 to now $35,000. Wow, that is amazing, really amazing. Now I have to ask you guys, I know you're graduating this year, and you're going to be, have you decided what colleges you're going to?
I think I'm going to Miami of Ohio.
And I think I'm either going to go to Carthage or Illinois Wesleyan for nursing.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Do you think you guys are going to continue this, or is this your last year?
We're not sure yet. We don't have a final decision. We just know that this is probably me and Taylor's last year with running it and being as involved as we are. Maybe our brother and sister will take over next year. We just have to see how everything goes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that would be a really cool thing to pass the torch, and then you could still be a part of it. But it is a huge commitment. You guys have really committed yourself to this in a big way through the years. And that's something that's very rare for people, really at any age. So, you know, this is something that I can't say enough how good and proud we are of you, the whole community and beyond. And we really hope this continues, but we understand this is, you got to go on to college. You got to start getting out there in the world and exploring other things. So hopefully we'll keep this going for you guys while you're out in your college years, exploring and learning and growing and doing all the things you need to do. Hopefully this will keep going. But something that is going to be something about this year is going to be different than the years prior. What is it?
Well, we lost Denise this summer, and so it's going to be our first year without her. And so,
and this is Ms. Cabanio's wife, Denise DiMarzo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the trend of this year will be focusing on the memory of Denise
and memory of her and her and everything that Mr. Benyon has done for her while she was battling this.
Yeah. Well, she showed us all such tremendous strength and grace. What are some of the things you both have learned in the short period of time that you have known her? Well, 6 years, that's long for you guys. It's only been it's been 6 years since you've known her. You only knew her when she was ill, right? But what have you learned from her? In her life?
Well, when we first met her, she was in a wheelchair and could talk, and just seeing like her disease like progress as we knew her just, I guess, kind of taught me that you need to have a positive outlook on things, because she lived a long life for somebody with this disease, and her and Mr. Benyon had such a positive outlook on it.
And what always stuck out to me was how every time I saw Denise at East Sherman, she would always be smiling, and she was never in a bad mood. And, like, that just really stuck out to me, because knowing what she was going through, she could be that positive throughout the whole battle.
Yeah, she really showed such strength, and she made everybody feel good in her presence, not bad, which, you know, we all – I was lucky I got to meet Denise last year for the first time. And I, you couldn't wipe that smile off her face. It was just really moving to see that this woman showed so much grace, so much strength with what she was facing, the battle that she faced every day to live. And we really do. It's hard to see that lovely soul that it's gone now, but not forgotten, that's for sure.
Yeah.
This whole experience for you, what has it taught you both about, maybe running a not-for-profit, the experience the relationships you've developed, what can you take away from this whole experience?
Probably that, you can't run something like this alone, and you can use all the help that you can get, so that all the people that have helped us throughout these past 6 years at the event every year, no matter what they've done, like volunteering or sponsoring or donating, it makes a difference, just like the smallest thing you can do. So whatever you can do for somebody that's running this type of event is a lot.
And also, like, how important it is, like, having the whole community involved and, like, seeing how big of an impact it has. My favorite part is seeing everyone, like having both high schools involved and seeing the junior highs involved too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the last 6 years, the the course of your life, the way the things that you've chosen to do have really affected, have changed your, well, I guess, let me reword this. If you had not started this, do you think you would have missed something big, been able to see grace and strength and community effort in the environment you were in, or do you really think that you made a difference?
I think we did make a difference. I think that because we're running it firsthand, we get to see everybody from all ages, like, right away, like, what they're doing to contribute to the event. And I think, especially knowing somebody like Denise with all the strength and positivity she had, I don't think I ever would have met somebody that was as strong and as positive as her.
Yes, she really was a blessing to have known, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, we've been talking to Delaney Gibbons and Taylor Morrissey. They are the founders, two young gals, seniors at Naperville North High School that started the, this is now the sixth year of the annual Dodgin' for Lou Gehrig's Disease Dodgeball Tournament, hugely successful. Over 1,000 people attend, and it's not too late to put it on the calendars and plan to join Delaney and Taylor for this big event. It's really fun. I go. My kids love going. My kids love volunteering there, too. And you can still be a part of it. And you also can still donate, right? There's still time to be a part of it.
They can go to our website, dodgingforlougehrig's.com, and go to the donation tab, and they can donate there.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, say that website one more time.
Dodgin, Lougehrig's.com.
Dodgin4LouGehrig's.com. Check it out. It's a cute website, great website with pictures of the girls. You guys are just the cutest thing. You really are.
Thank you.
And I just love watching you guys grow up through the years, and you've really blossomed into some beautiful people, and it's just nice to see all the work that you've done and the difference you've made. And I know a lot of people in the community are incredibly proud of you guys and support you 100%. Thanks for everything you're doing for the effort to fight Lou Gehrig's disease and find a cure for ALS. And I know Mr. Benyo and Denise is smiling down on you guys. Keep up the good work, and good luck with this year's event.
Thank you. And thank you so much for helping us out, too.
Thank you, Dolly.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Bye-bye. We've been talking to Delaney Gibbons and Taylor Morrissey. I'm so incredibly proud of these girls who started Dodgin' for Lou Gehrig's Disease Dodgeball Tournament. Please go to their website, dodginforlougehrig's.com, and support them. Make a donation, maybe volunteer, but all the money will go to find a cure for ALS. We'll be right back.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
All right. Well, my next guest, we've got a lot of good guests on today, haven't we? But my next guest is going to be talking to us about the story. The subject is the donut parent. Listen, we were having some technical difficulties. I'll be right back, folks. We're getting our guest on the line. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Court Carpenter. Get your koozies ready to go because you're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
I'm back. Okay, our technical difficulties have been solved. Bea Runyon is the author of a new book. Hey, Bea, are you there? I got you on the line. I'm going to take you
I am here, Dolly. Thank you. Yes.
She's an expert on parenting, nutrition, and childhood obesity, and we're going to talk to her about how to feed our children. You know, we're all guilty of this, and not necessarily it's a bad thing, but it can become that our children. I'm a mother of five, and I remember bringing the snacks to the games, to the sporting events. It would be always a Gatorade, and it, a lot of times the games were early. Yeah, it would be Dunkin' Donuts. So the donut trap, that's what we run into, the donut trap we're running into, feeding our kids the sugar. And so anyway, so I thought it would be a great idea to have Thea on the show to educate us and our my listeners with school-age kids about, you know, how to fuel our kids right during upcoming sports season. Little League is going to be starting soon. My daughter's going to be starting lacrosse, pretty much to help us with the struggle and resist the peer pressure and convenience of bringing sugary, fatty snacks on those designated snack mom days. So, Thea, you're an expert. Do you have a book out about this?
Not about this topic. We have so I am from Curbo Health, which is an online mobile program for kids and teens and families to help them make healthy choices and change their behaviors to make them healthier. And I've been at Stanford for 15 years working in behavior modification and childhood obesity. And this is a topic that has come up so many times over the years, and I've blogged about it a lot, and I do have a cookbook out. You can get it on Amazon that is really based on our philosophies with Curbo and healthy food, and our foods are classified as red, yellow, and green. And I can get more into that if people want me to, but I really, I love this topic. I'm also a mom of three girls. I have a lacrosse player, too, and I find over the years that we're getting the snacks have just gotten a little bit over the top. And the families that I work with often...
You don't say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the families that I work with, because I'm working with families that are trying to make healthier choices and trying to make changes, find it to be very difficult when they're bombarded with these snacks during sports season. So... you know, taking a look at that more closely and trying to figure out what can we do differently to make sure that we're supporting our kids when they're doing healthy things. We want to give them healthy food. It's kind of contradictory to be giving them donuts during their soccer game.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But you can't. But parents are at a loss because we're not educated. We're so used to you can't serve them a bowl of cereal. So what can you do for something on the go? You get them a
yeah,
donut.
No, I think a donut seems easy. I know it does, right?
In the morning. That's when you have this 8 a.m. soccer game, you know. But you could bring a banana.
Right. I mean, a banana and a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, but you know what? Then you have the peer pressure because then another mom comes and says, oh, I thought it was my snack day. I brought Dunkin' Donuts. What do you think the kids are going to eat? They're not going to reach for your banana. So, okay,
no,
I digress. I'm goofing with you a little, but this is important, folks. So it's a struggle for parents and kids.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right because it's kind of almost become this competition between parents about who can kind of outdo the other parent and bring the best, quote-unquote, best snack post-game.
Yeah.
Like, it almost has become that.
Yeah. That's going to be another show topic. We'll get to that. But yeah, help us out here with keeping our kids on this low-sugar but yet enjoyable snack.
Yes. So one thing that's really, I think, important is you do want to have your coach kind of on board with you or other team parents kind of on board with you. And you'll find, you might be surprised that, in fact, a lot of parents are struggling with this too, but they're afraid to step forward. And once you step forward and say, hey, you know what, let's bring healthier snacks for our kids, they will actually jump on board with you. So I want to empower parents to be brave and take that step and try to be the one that is promoting the healthy snacks for kids. And I'm a huge advocate of Pinterest. There are a lot of really fun, healthy snacks that you can find on Pinterest and bring to the soccer game or the Little League game.
Oh, yeah. I love Pinterest. What would you suggest they use the search? What search words would they use? Like just snack, sports snacks for kids, or
healthy
that you would
snacks.
Recommend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think healthy snacks for kids is really a really good one. You know, some of the things that we recommend doing a fun fruit kebab. In the hotter months, you can bring fruit popsicles. Those are really popular. But really trying to stay away from the Gatorade and the chocolate milk and the things that are marketed as, you know, replenishing our kids. Because, if you think about a Little League game, if you think about a softball game, and I run into this a lot of times with the kids that I work with, you're probably, you know, if your softball game is 90 minutes, you're probably only moving for maybe 30 minutes of that actual game, and yet we're eating like we're running around for 90 minutes. So finding that balance, and we also do, back to your point about the donuts, like eating a donut before a game, even though it's convenient, is going to cause a lot of problems with their performance. So teaching our kids how to fuel their body so that they feel good during the game and then after the game is super important and hard because we have those challenges of competing with our other parents and wanting to be the cool mom or the cool dad.
Yeah.
But we owe it to our kids, I think.
Well, would you suggest, yeah, right. Well, now let's, I know our kids are, you know, there's, you know, my kids playing sports range in age from 9 to 20. So it depends on the age. But what would you recommend for those in the elementary school years for a snack before the game and then an after a game snack if you're the snack parent?
Yeah, so before the game, I think one thing we want to be really careful of is we want to watch out for that kind of idea of carbo loading or, you know, overfeeding our kids because they're going to be running around and they need all this extra energy. Really just having, you know, a small something balanced before the game is best and something that they can digest properly and easily before the game. If you give them too much sugar, like a donut, they're going to get a stomach ache in the game. They're going to crash and burn. So I always like something like a piece of fruit, right, that gives you sustained energy over time, and a lean protein, like a hard-boiled egg or a string cheese. So an apple and a string cheese before a game is great. If you have like a 10 or 11 o'clock game, you could have a little bit bigger breakfast, but if you're eating right before the game, just something small like a string cheese and an apple is really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After the game, and your body is
– Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
No,
so
I was
going to
say,
game,
right after the game, what would you suggest? Yes.
Yeah, right after the game, your body is still recovering. So you also want to think about protein to help those muscles recover. So, again, a lean protein. I get fruit. Like a lot of times families serve fruit that's left over from halftime. They might serve that up afterwards. If you want to make it more of a treat, you can make it a kebab. But you'd be amazed. If you just put out a bowl of fruit, it disappears. Like, it really does. You just have to be confident to do that, and kids won't be disappointed about missing the cookies.
What do you say about those protein bars that I see many parents giving their kids before the game?
Oh, such a great question, Dolly. I've been guilty of that, too, but I know that basically a protein bar is essentially giving your child a cookie, two cookies, actually, before a game. And we don't want to do that. We want to teach our kids to fuel our body properly. So I'm a big proponent of just whole foods, just, you know, the actual fruit and the actual lean protein for the child. So that would go back to the idea of a piece of fruit and a hard-boiled egg or a string cheese, something like that.
Mhm. Mhm. And let's talk about the number one drink we see on the soccer field. I don't want to say the company name, but I guess I could. It's great if you're a high-performing athlete to have Gatorade, right? But is it wise to give it to our children, a big old bottle of blue Gatorade or a bottle of Gatorade? Why,
yeah.
Why or why not? Why not?
You
maybe
know, really,
it's good.
Isn't,
I don't
you know,
but I don't.
You know, it's not. And all the childhood obesity experts, you know, really are anti-sports drink. But you know, it's important to think back and remind parents why this sports drink was created. And it was created in Florida, for the Florida Gators, who are professional athletes, you know, working in extremely hot, humid weather. And they needed replenishment. And they're professional athletes, right? So they're performing at a level that far exceeds any of our kids. No matter how amazing we think our kids are, they're not performing like our Florida Gators. So we really do. It's really
but they're definitely performing better than our Chicago Bears, those Florida Gators. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that I think it's the sugar. Yeah.
Why is it that it's all marketing. It must be just marketing.
Yeah.
So instead of Gatorade, isn't it okay to give them just water and they would be just fine?
Water?
Or is that unknown? You're not the cool parent then. You're abusing your child by just giving them water. You really should be a Gatorade mom. No, I'm kidding. So isn't plain water just fine and they're going to be hydrated just fine with water?
Water's the best, really. Water's just the best. It's just the best. I think, though, what you bring up, though, Dolly, is the fact that there's this culture that just feeds into the idea that the sports drink is what you should serve. But if you think about, and I don't like to think about calories when it comes to kids, but when you think about the fact of how many calories are in one of these sports drinks, and then, you know, what, and the sugar that's in it, and then
and
the
sugar,
other foods
almost
that,
30 grams of sugar.
Yeah, which is like almost eight teaspoons of sugar. And our kids' bodies don't need that. We don't need that, right? That's not helping us at all. So really kind of thinking about the messaging we want for our kids when it comes to sports and being healthy, we want to provide them with healthy things, not things that contradict all the work that they just did. And we want them to feel good, obviously.
Right. Yeah. How about for some of our older kids? And I do have to ask you a quick question. When I was on vacation last week, I was drinking coconut water, and I had read that that's a natural drink, and it gives you, if not more, electrolytes, that's the word? Yeah, then Gatorade.
Electrolytes.
Half the sugar. What did I say it wrong? I'm saying electrolytes.
Yeah.
Electrolytes, that's the word. Have you heard of coconut water? It's like the new thing now.
It's very popular.
Is that just like another Gatorade then? Should we still keep with the water? The basic water's
water. Water's always best. Plain water.
Best. Let's just put that to rest. Water is the best.
Plain.
So let's talk about some of our older kids, the teens. What should they be having pre-game and post?
Well, you know, same idea. I think when the older kids sometimes, you know, they're making their own choices, and maybe sometimes their coaches are telling them, oh, you need to have a gel at halftime or something like that. But, again, we are actually giving our athletes too much sugar, which really hinders performance. There's also the culture, again, especially with older, like, athletes, too, this whole idea of carbo-loading before a big game. And really what we want is just a regular balanced diet with some whole grain, a lean protein, and some fruits and vegetables. We don't want to go overboard, you know, on having plates and plates of pasta the night before your game, because actually it does the opposite of what we think. It can actually make you feel more sluggish and icky out on the field or on the court. So there are a lot of these myths that have just ingrained in our youth sports culture that we really want to kind of reevaluate and fix.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's really good advice. Thea Runyon, we've been talking to parenting, nutrition, and childhood obesity expert Thea Runyon. Lots of great ideas and tips and telling us some of the myths, and those tips were fantastic. She's also the co-founder of Curbo. It's to help kids develop healthier eating and fitness habits. So, congratulations. How long ago did you start Curbo?
We started Curbo 3 years ago.
We're almost out of time, Thea, but
give
us your website so people could go to that website and get more information and maybe reach out to you. Can they reach out to you through that website?
Yes, please. Please come visit us at www.curbo.com, K-U-R-B-O. We've got a lot of great information on our blog.
Fantastic. Thea, it's been so great talking to you. We are out of time, though. I really want to thank you for coming on the show. And for all your expert advice, we're going to be checking out that website. Kids, folks, don't run into that donut Gatorade trap. Be strong, parents. Water
thanks, Dolly.
Is always best. That's the lasting tip. And thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the show. We'll see you next week.
tune in to another edition of the Dolly McCarthy Show. If you haven't liked us on Facebook, please do so on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. I'll also put that Curbo website on our Facebook page for you to check out. Thanks again, Thea.
Thanks.
So long, everybody.
Thanks, Dolly.
Be good
Bye-bye.
To each other. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.